Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Rumiko and the Confirmed Bachelor by Forthright, narrated by Travis Baldry. 1. Wishes Come True. Hisoka opened his eyes and found Argent hovering at the sight of the bed. Nothing in the fox's expression gave away how much he'd overheard, but probably everything. Argent would want to know about Hisoka's past, probably needed to know, but he wasn't ready to face the kinds of questions that would drag splinters of truth out of the wound in his heart. Argent's brows lifted, but all he said was, "I will bring food." And so the fox retreated, leaving Hisoka alone to face Nemi's legacy. Rumiko stirred and opened eyes unlike anything. Their irises might have been carved from dull gray stone, without a hint of shine. The only thing that spared them from lifelessness was the glitter of black pupils that widened, then tightened down as they focused on him. Recognition livened Rumiko's whole expression. The hand Hisoka had been holding pulled free, and Rumiko sat up. Blankets fell away, bearing pale skin freckled by innumerable tiny facets. Hisoka couldn't say for certain if these were reflecting the ambient light, or if Nemi's child had inherited some of her shine. Hisoka was already reaching for a bare shoulder to check, but maybe he shouldn't. Rumiko didn't shy away from his claws. Indeed, Nemi's child pivoted toward him. Permission. Warm skin felt ordinary enough, but visually it was wholly unique. Pretty. Rumiko bent nearer, and the hacked ends of long hair slipped forward, framing a face with pronounced cheekbones. They looked undernourished. Propping up on an elbow, Hisoka ran a cautious hand over the jut of a shoulder, then gaunt ribs. Concerned, he mumbled, "You must be starving." "Do you think so?" "Argent is bringing food." Rumiko traced one of Hisoka's eyebrows with a fingertip. "Are you hungry?" "I can't remember the last time I ate."
"Will you teach me?"
"You don't know how to eat."
"I have never had the pleasure," Rumiko said, sounding as if they were quoting someone.
Nemi.
Yes, the inflection was pure Nemi. "You will teach me."
Hisoka should have realized. Rumiko had never been outside the chrysalis that had also protected Nemi. A whole life spent in captivity, safely kept in their mother's arms, awaiting rescue, awaiting him. He asked, "Do you even need food?"
"I wonder. My father consumed sigils, and my mother took strength from songs."
Neither sounded particularly filling. "I know a moonbeam who likes custard."
"Teach me that, then."
"I don't know what Argent might bring."
"Neither do I,"
said Rumiko, sounding delighted that they had something in common. Hisoka was finding this half-star, half-stone person increasingly confusing. Hanek Alpenglow had explained that Nemi's child was without gender, that impressions could choose either, or choose to do without. The imps Hisoka had met before had either presented as male or female, but Rumiko's scent, and what he could see of their physiognomy, nothing was definitive. Felines embodied curiosity, and knew things were inherently interesting, but Hisoka's instincts had him second-guessing every response. He hadn't realized how much of his clan's culture and how many feline courtesies relied on gender. Averting his gaze, he mumbled, "Do you have any idea what you might need?"
"Only that I need you."
So serene, so pleased.
"And you are here."
Hisoka eased back onto his pillow, wanting to put more distance between them. "I don't know what to do."
"I do not mind."
Rumiko scooted closer, pushing up onto hands and knees, looming over Hisoka, trapping him. Their hair curtained the rest of the world from view. Hisoka wondered if there was impish allure at play. He couldn't bring himself to look away, even though some part of him was anxious for escape. What was Rumiko after? But then he caught the briefest sparkle of green within the liquid black, like fireflies dancing in the distance. He watched intently, hoping it would happen again, noticing too late that the space between them had diminished considerably. With a smile that set off another spiral of green sparks, Rumiko kissed the tip of his nose. An old memory flowed back, of Nemi drawing Hoshiko into her arms and bestowing kisses, some light, some lingering, and one bright enough for any to see. His sister may have had Hiroki for a twin, but it was Nemi's mark that shone upon her brow. Romiko next pressed a soft kiss to Hisoka's forehead, as if trying to bestow the mark shining in his memories. And still, Hisoka didn't know what to do. Should he rebuff, as he would any advance? Should he reciprocate as a form of greeting? Romiko was not a child, but they may as well be newborn, and so he took up the same refrain, even though it made him sound petulant.
I don't know what to do. You have never kissed someone before.
I have.
Am I mistaken?
Hisoka finally managed to lower his gaze.
I would hardly criticize a courtesy. The first was from Mother. She asked me to give it, and I have kept my promise.
A kiss from Nemi? But why? Affection? Gratitude? Forgiveness?
The second was from me. I thought it would shine. In Mother's stories, a kiss to claim would shine.
Hisoka's gaze was pulled back, then drawn deep, for that fizz of green sparkles kindled his curiosity, held him rapt. Romiko's eyes held something like the fire in a gemstone, dancing just out of reach, akin to the whisper-light touch of Michael's soul whenever he coaxed for a tending session. Teasing, alluring, perfect.
Why would you?
Hisoka began, but he was already shying away from the answer his question might bring. He lived too long with starry portents not to be wary of truths, especially those he didn't want to hear. So instead, he asked,
Why Romiko? My name. Yes, it's not a star's name. Romy, perhaps, but Nico. For you.
Hisoka hesitated.
I don't understand. You have watched over others called Miko. That's true, but how did you know?
Romiko went on.
You oversaw their happiness, and you envied their happiness. You wished for a Miko of your own, or a Michael of your own.
I'd never, at least not in so many words.
Mother must have known what you wished for.
With all the confidence of stars, who know the truth simply because it is true, Romiko declared,
I am the answer.
2. Washed up. The sea had nearly doused the sun when Cinder dragged himself wearily onto the beach below Stapley House. Cold seas and bitter winds had him curling tight atop snowy sand. He might like swimming, but crossing the ocean twice in a matter of days had stolen the last of his reserves.
Shit, it's cold.
He tried to think who to call for help.
I knew you'd be back.
Dunce and double dunce.
Hey, friend, here to do me in? That would hardly be sporting, not when you've already half-killed yourself.
Cinder had been expecting teeth, or perhaps claws. Instead, a tongue rasped across his shoulder, and a velveted paw rolled him onto his back. He stared with mute misery into mocking eyes.
Come along, damsel. Not going anywhere with you, he muttered,
jaw clenched to keep his teeth from chattering.
Wrong. I found you, and I intend to keep you.
The big cat lowered himself over Cinder, which may have been some kind of feline posturing, but all that really mattered was that Fen's fur was warm. Cinder grabbed hold with numbed fingers, burying them deeper, seeking heat.
Unless you want to be scruffed like a kitten, you'll need to get on my back. Can't. You should be honored that I'd offer. I'm serious, body's shutting down.
Cinder was helpless, and he was too tired to care.
Rouse yourself, and I'll bring you to Timur. Michelson. You want him, don't you? Fan that ember of desire so we can get on with it.
Fen lifted off him, moved alongside.
All you need to do is climb on. Can't,
he repeated weakly. Cinder wasn't being stubborn.
Bring help? That's a good kitty. I don't like having my hand forced.
Those words fanned against Cinder's ear, and there were hands tugging, arms lifting. Cinder guessed that meant he was rescued, but by whom? Heavy eyelids dragged upward enough to give a glimpse of a stranger looming near. Cinder managed a quizzical trill.
Hush, I'd rather not draw attention at this juncture. There's a good dragon.
Cinder tensed, though there wasn't much strength to coil.
Don't struggle against the inevitable. I have you, and I will keep you.
That voice, he knew it. Sender whispered, Fend? It had to be. The mocking gaze was much the same, but the kith had taken speaking form. Sender wasn't sure which part surprised him more, that Fend could take speaking form, meaning he had to be kithkin, or that the cat who'd only ever tormented him was being so gentle. Shaking his head, Sender asked,
Since when? That's a secret you can barter for later.
Lips brushed Sender's eyebrow.
Don't expire, lovely one. You're integral to my plans.
Sender faded in and out of consciousness, but each time he revived enough to take note of his surroundings, Fen's whispers brushed his ear, plying for more trust, promising him safety. So far, Cinder's trust had been richly rewarded because he was clean and warm and dry, and the scent of spikenard was slowly gaining strength. A homey touch. Fan's voice filtered through the haze.
I'm keeping him. He'll let me. See how he clings. All dragons cling when they're cold, and really you can't lay claim to someone without their consent. I can because he'll let me. My reasons are as excellent as my inducements.
Claws lightly scraped the nape of Cinder's neck.
Don't pretend you dislike the idea. A dragon is just the thing for your plans, too. Not that way. Like this.
And then a larger, surer hand was plucking and adding pressure, working its way down Cinder's back. A groan slipped out.
More of that, Michelson, and I probably would let you keep me. See?
The damned cat sounded far too smug.
Toss me the gruel.
Sender tried to pull away, but he and Fend were all tangled up, and though Sender was awake enough to track with the conversation going on over him, he was beyond weary and oddly muzzy, which could only mean one thing.
You pollinated me. A whisper of huddlebud. Timmer insisted we skimp, but it definitely went to your head, said Fend. Do you remember the bath? No. I kept you from drowning. Okay, thanks for that, I guess.
He squinted in the low light.
Where is this? My old room. We're crowding in for now.
This time, Timmer's voice came from a little way off.
Fan left you on my doormat, figuratively speaking. There was a bath. You're terribly depleted, and I needed to warm you.
Timmer came back to the bed and passed something to Fend.
There's tea cooling, but first, eat.
Then Fend was spooning something custardy past his lips, which was awkward in bed.
Let me sit up, at least.
Sender tried to pull away, and some dribbled down his chin.
No need to panic.
With a soft tut, Fend swooped in and lapped it up.
Not poisoned, see?
Before Sender could summon words, another spoonful arrived.
Warm enough,
Fend murmured solicitously. A furred leg rubbed Sender's skin. He searched the feline's unfamiliar face, needing to reconcile new facts against old assumptions. When he took more gruel, Fend purred over him. It was probably patronization, but Cinder was starving, and it had been a hot minute since his last taste of Sonnet's cooking. How long had it been now? 8 years?
You're surprisingly docile. I suppose Juyu's recent match left you ripe for the picking. I'll make a much better partner.
Cinder rebelled against the suggestion with a soft hiss.
Ooh, I hit a nerve. Don't be sad, I'll value you properly.
Fend chased the final spoonful of gruel with a kiss.
You little shit. You'd be more convincing if you weren't so comfortable in my arms.
And raising his voice slightly, Fend said,
Reward our captive, Timmer. Welcome him with a kiss, as is his due.
Cinder stilled. Okay, yeah, a kiss was technically traditional, and Timmer was classically trained. But he didn't like that Fend was toying with him. And while pollinated?
This is coercion.
Fend countered,
Only if the pact is sealed while you're under the influence. What pact?
Cinder was beginning to be angry, but it was such a fuzzy, listless thing. Fend brought a cup to Cinder's lips.
Tea, said Timmer. Take all of it, and don't let Fend get to you.
This time the cat let Cinder up enough to drink. He grumbled and gagged, but he downed the lot. He knew from experience it'd clear his head and possibly clarify his predicament. Fend slipped an arm around his waist.
I'll lay out every detail once you're lucid. For now, rest. I need you at full strength, with all your wits about you.
This was quite the turnabout from past aggressions. Cinder accused,
You hate me. Do I? That would be incredibly short-sighted.
He asked,
What's changed?
Quite a lot. Fend flopped against fat pillows and smiled up at him.
First and foremost, you've turned out to be a reach. Very convenient. I need someone who could take orders without my having to shift.
No. Why would you even think I'd take orders from you?
Because Hisoka is weak right now, washed up, next to useless, and you hold all his secrets.
Sender blinked.
I'm not telling you anything.
Your lot had their chance, and you did well enough, but you left the job half done. That's where we come in.
Fen nodded toward his partner.
Timur's a dragon slayer. He's going to kill the rogue, and I have vixens to outfox.
Pretty sure Argent'll take issue with your trying to take over.
Should Lord Metalbright ever notice the asset that exists right under his pointy muzzle, I have little doubt he'll recognize my value. In the meantime, you and I will hold the world together. Carefully. Quietly. Which is why I cannot afford for you to sicken. There's too much at stake.
Sender frowned.
I haven't agreed to anything.
Ignoring him, Fend continued.
We'll triumph, and in the peaceful years to come, you can help us train Gregor and the rest. All Timur's progeny will need practice.
I don't want to fight baby battlers.
Not fight, said Fend. Most dragon lore is about prettying and pampering. Timur's sons and daughters will adore and adorn you. I don't like kids. But you do it for Timur,
he coyly countered.
You're not listening, Sender grumbled.
To a pollinated youngling who's too tired to see the sense I speak. No, I refuse to dignify your protests.
At this point,
Fen was back to petting his hair.
We'll revisit any valid concerns at a later date.
Sender scowled.
The tea's working just fine. My head's clear. And leave off with that youngling business. I have the years. Sure about that. I remember when you were born, added you and your littermates to the file myself.
Fen flashed fangs.
Years are not maturity. Maturation isn't experience.
I don't mind if you underestimate me, but don't dismiss me just to be petty.
Fend rubbed their cheeks together and whispered,
Want me to remind Timur that you're waiting for a kiss?
What did I ever do to deserve this?
Fend said,
You're perfect. Look, you helped me out, maybe even saved my life, but I'm not joining a new task force.
Sender grimly added,
Stop patronizing me. Sway won't work, on either of us, and this isn't patronization, it's peacemaking.
Because I'm perfect, he said flatly.
Intelligent, informed, connected, capable, and becoming increasingly attached to both me and my plans for you. Or at the very least, to the place they'll create for you.
His next words slipped unspoken into Cinder's mind.
Timur moped for days when you abandoned him. Retake your place. Come and abide at my hearth.
As a reach, Sender was able to counter in kind, speaking without words so Timur couldn't overhear.
A hearth, huh? Wasn't last summer all about my needing a harem? Semantics.
And then Fend adopted an entirely too innocent expression as he tugged Cinder's head down onto his shoulder.
Make room for your hearth, mate. Timur, help me warm him.
The mattress dipped as Timur eased onto the bed with them.
All right there, damsel.
This time, when Sender twisted away from Fend, the feline let him go. In fact, he gave a little push so that Sender rolled straight into Timur, putting his nose firmly in the center of Michelson's hairy chest. Sender looked up into brown eyes that shone with happiness.
Had Timur really missed him?
He announced,
Your cat is a megalomaniac. If you can tell, then you're definitely thinking clearly.
Timur's smile was apologetic.
Feline presumption and all that.
I intend to resist capture.
You're not a prisoner.
You're home,
interjected Fend, who plastered himself against Sender's back.
I don't have a home. Says you. Yes, I do say so. I would know. Fend only means that you could consider this home, if you wanted. Though the room's temporary, we're going to build a house.
Timur's free hand sought the back of Cinder's neck and began to knead.
You could join the Enclave, bunk with us. I have far too many special skills and no one to appreciate them.
Cinder wilted into the man, biting his lip to hold back a too hasty reply.
We're really just glad to see you, and that you're safe,
Timur quietly pointed out.
Crossing the ocean at low ebb was dangerous, Cinder. I just wanted...
Sender tensed when Fenn's tongue made a slow swipe across his shoulder blade. Would teeth be next?
Hmm?
Invited Timur.
What did you want so badly that you'd risk yourself?
Sender tried to come up with an answer that made sense. All he really had was a pocket full of yellow seashells, vague worries about Hisoka's state of mind, and this. It wanted to get where Timur was.
Maybe it was stupid, he mumbled. It's all right now, the man soothed. Sleep. We'll guard your rest.
Sender really should protest.
Stop pretending to resist, ordered Fend. This is a mutually beneficial arrangement for all three of us. An unassailable alliance. Brains, brawn, and beauty.
Sender frowned. Which of those am I meant to be? Timur's voice held a smile.
Admit it, Fend. He's smarter, stronger, and prettier than either of us.
All the more reason to woo him to our side.
Time enough for that later. And then Timur asked, do you want tending?
Oh, Sender wanted it, probably needed it too.
Sure, okay, yeah. Thank you for your trust. Nobody could fault Timur's manners.
Yeah, duty and delight, yada yada. But the first splash of tending curled his toes. Sender was dragon enough to believe himself smarter, stronger, and prettier, but the way things had piled up and played out, he was also needier, and the damnable cat knew it. A velvety tail came up to lightly boff Cinder's nose, then quiver under his chin. Cinder muttered,
I'm going to be so pissed with you in the morning.
Morning?
Fenn's amusement had a superior quality.
You'll sleep a week, and by the time you wake, you'll be so used to my softness and my scent and my voice in your ear, you won't even question why you're willing to take your first meal from my hand, morsel by tender morsel.
Not happening.
And to Timur,
don't let him mess with me.
I have you. Timur reached around, and it felt like he was playing with Fenn's hair when he amended,
both of you.
Lucky us, said Fenn, a peevish edge to his tone, though a moment later his happy sigh fanned Cinder's neck.
Cinder still thought he'd be angry later, or annoyed, or at least embarrassed, because, dunce and double dunce, the space between Timur's tending and Fenn's purrs felt warm and safe and homey and his, which was definitely going to bite him in the ass in about a week, because Fenn was right, possibly about everything. Normally, he liked that about cats. 3. Far too familiar. Hisoka was in no position to refuse another visit from Canarian. His nephew needed to confer with him on several points, ostensibly because he was filling in as acting spokesperson while Hisoka was on sabbatical. His text had mentioned a summit, several constitutional amendments, and upcoming Dichotomy Day appearances. He hadn't mentioned bringing along Catalan, the snoop. Cat was barely through the door when he spied Romiko.
So it's true. Our perpetually solitary uncle is a bachelor no longer. But look at you, what is this luster? Canary spoke of shine, but, you are exquisite.
Hisoka shot a look at Canarian. His nephew shrugged.
I can understand wanting to keep them to yourself, but that isn't our way. Romiko is yours, and that makes us kin.
Yes, let us dote.
And showing his hands to Romiko, Cat begged,
may I touch?
Romiko stepped lightly into the Jaguar clansman's embrace, expression going blissful the moment Cat began to purr.
I think you're misunderstanding, Hisoka protested.
Cat went right on, speaking to Romiko.
You are his, yes, and he is yours. What could be simpler?
Hisoka has not decided what he wants.
And a softer confession.
My kisses fade.
Say it isn't so. What kind of fool flees from an imp's regard?
Canarian mildly posed.
Someone who doesn't value himself enough. Really, Uncle, when did you last sleep? You're woefully depleted.
He may have hissed, a little. But Cat was being far too familiar, and Romiko had no context for feline courtesies. Perhaps worse, Romiko was being entirely too candid.
They said, once he decides, I will know.
Catalan's next glance cut.
Leaving your partner in suspense of your intentions. That is easily as despicable as leaving such lovely hair in this state. For shame, I need scissors.
And to Romiko,
have you not yet seen the inside of a bathtub? Terrible manners. You must forgive Uncle's rudeness. Here, now, trust us. Cat and Canary will make things right.
Hisoka knew he'd been remiss and slouched into an apologetic posture. Canarian did give a mild warning to his partner.
Curiosity is natural, but don't impose.
Where is the imposition? Cat countered, nuzzling a glittering cheek. We're kindred, and with Cass that means closeness. Come, Roro, I must even out your hair before Canarian washes it.
Roro? Hisoka hissed anew at his nephew's presumption, casually claiming an imp by bestowing a nickname. Yet Romiko let it pass, seemingly more interested in something else.
Kindred?
It's true, Cat assured. If you are uncles, then you are ours.
Close, but not closest, interjected Canarian. Stop trying to rile uncle.
Cat simply laughed, wholly unrepentant. Canarian left Hisoka's side to offer his own embrace.
I don't show it as much as some of my brothers, but I also have an impish legacy. If the gossip is true, my father's mother had a daring streak. She chased storms until she caught one, and so Petros was born. My father is very beautiful.
Hisoka had known, of course. Himiko had chosen Petros for the unique coloring that was a quirk of his heritage. But Hisoka hadn't thought to mention it to Romiko, perhaps because he didn't want to contemplate impish flings just now. Cat came to Hisoka then, expression suddenly serious. He softly asked,
Why are you being shy about this? Romiko is an innocent, and you are a teacher at heart. What do you need a go-between? Well, I do. This isn't that kind of arrangement. I can see that. Be plain. Are you struggling to adjust to this bond, or are you truly rejecting it?
Hisoka whispered,
I don't know what to do. You're here, where no lady mistress can meddle, so you're free to choose for yourself.
Cat pulled him into a loose embrace.
Is it not best to give Romiko that same freedom? Let me take them around, introduce them to those who consider this their home. There are other crossers, other imps. You need not be Romiko's whole world. I wasn't trying to impose restrictions. Yet, I don't think they'll leave your side unless you encourage it. Let them go, and they can come back to you with news of how their world is growing wider. Distance is the beginning of closeness.
Felines loved paradoxes. A push to pull, a snub to snare, a lie to trust.
Cat promised, I'll speak with Dis and his boys. They'll keep watch for your sake, but for now let us give proper welcome. Your charming imps will be pampered and purred over.
Hisoka threw a rebellious thought at his nephews.
Why does everyone insist Romiko is mine?
Canarian's answering thought lilted with amusement.
Because they are not feline?
That surprised Hisoka, and worried him enough to silently demand,
Why would that matter?
Cat's eyes sparkled.
Because you're a Tom. Romiko is the one who will rule over you.
Hisoka protested aloud.
Romiko isn't a lady mistress. Neither is Canarian, and yet...
Cat winked broadly.
What you see from the house rarely betrays what's happening backstage. Spokesperson is a role you took on for all our sakes, a leader in the limelight. But the Tom beneath the trappings? Ah, I can see it already. Our uncle will tremble in starlight with living stone for his hearth.
4. Recognition. Not many people could find the upper hall that led to Lord and Lady Metalbright's rooms, so Ginkgo was more than a little surprised to find someone he didn't know crouched there, petting the leaf-patterned carpet.
Hey, you.
The fair-haired stranger startled and slowly straightened. They were a full head taller than Ginkgo, and he didn't think he was imagining the shimmer to their complexion. Relaxing into a smile, he showed his palms.
Sorry about that. You're Romiko, yeah? I'm one of Argent's sons, Ginkgo.
Bypassing his hands, Romiko stooped to rub their cheeks together, kitty style. With a soft laugh, Ginkgo patted their back.
Nice. Someone's been hanging out with Catalan.
Romiko straightened, but stayed in the circle of Ginkgo's arms.
Yes. Did he speak of me?
Oh, I can tell by the scent, and I recognize the shirt.
He gave me this, and these were in a cupboard.
Romiko lifted their shirt enough to show that the waist of pale green silk pants had been cinched tight above slim hips.
Those must belong to Jacques, since he sometimes stays in Sensei's room. He won't mind sharing, but he'd insist on hauling you across to his tailor. You'll need things that fit better.
Jacques Smythe.
That's the guy you've met already.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?